do 100 cartwheels. Patrick said no.
You, that doesn't translate well to a podcast. Like, yeah. I can't see you.
Yeah. One, two, three. Yeah. All right, Pastor David's laying on the ground. All right, he's back up again.
That's right. Yeah. We can just narrate my 100 cartwheels.
I can make it
to 20. I could do that.
You did a cartwheel off with one of our youth at the National Youth Gathering and lost and did not make it to 20. So.
I made it to 20 total, but you didn't start filming the first time. We did some cartwheels. And then you said, okay, let's have a cartwheel off. And so I was already tired and dizzy when I I definitely got my butt kicked by the teenager doing cartwheels. I make no argument against that.
That's okay. Natalie weighs 80 pounds, so.
Yeah, it's way easier for her to do a cartwheel than me and my old self.
That's pretty good. Good enough.
It's highlighting my old, decrepit body.
I'm fine with that. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
How's it going?
And back in the podcast, Katie Phillips.
Woo! Hello.
I know, we've missed you over the last couple of months, Katie.
We need some theme music to drop in here.
Won't put any in there, but we could, yeah. Katie, we've missed you. Katie left our staff.
Abandoned. Oh, no. Sorry. That's not right.
like a week before Corona hit. She got out.
I'm out.
And then everything.
I see where this boat's going. I'm getting out of here.
And then everything was canceled. So.
Katie leaves and the world falls apart. This is what happens.
But this is the 100th episode of Beyond Sunday. We have reached 100. And we're like, who needs to be here for 100? Katie Phillips, part of a huge journey for us, probably recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of 75, 80 podcasts for Beyond Sunday. I didn't count.
Ish. All right.
Yeah, 75, 80. And so this seemed so appropriate to have Katie back for our 100th episode.
Absolutely.
Yes. So Katie, how's life been since we last heard from you?
I mean, everything shut down. So, it's been great, I guess. It's been the longest spring break of my life with my children.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them dearly, but oh my goodness.
Sure, I hear you.
Yeah, but things are good.
Good. Yeah, so your kids are back in what, school, online school, in-person school, both schools?
Both schools. Our district is doing 4 days of virtual learning right now, and then they get to go 1 day on campus. So today, while we're recording this, they're on campus. It's the best day ever.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Take a nap, get some cleaning done. All the things that need to happen in your house that is impossible with two children.
Exactly.
Yeah. And practice, a lot of self-care there.
I like that Patrick's idea of a party is getting some cleaning done. Day your kids are out of the house. Yeah. Looks like I got to mop the floors today.
Strong disagree.
I said take a nap first. That was the first thing I said was take a nap. That's really what I would do the moment Timmy goes back to daycare in a few weeks take a nap, for our 100th episode, everyone, we are going to have a few questions for us to go through here. Yeah. Some submitted by listeners, some
Excellent.
I wrote, and we're going to just, that's going to be our 100th episode to celebrate together 100 episodes. But before we get there, I've got some news.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Aw, yeah. I missed that.
Back again, yes.
There it is.
Excellent. So, there is a coin shortage here in the United States, right? I know if you ever gone to a restaurant to pick up delivery or fast food, most of them have signs now saying pay in exact change or card only. Have you seen these signs?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
And but I never have cash, so card only is excellent.
Yeah, card,
all for it.
My life is not changing anyway. So, and there's not really a coin shortage. It's just people are just keeping the coins in their homes, I guess, or in the consoles of their car. They didn't go anywhere. They're just now staying in place.
Storing them under their mattress, like you do.
Yep.
No. Is that what y'all are doing, is having a pile of coins underneath your mattress?
Yeah, it gives you all the medicinal properties of copper. When you put all the pennies under your mattress, the copper comes into your spine.
You are making that up.
Yes, I absolutely am making that up. Yes.
I'm not sure there's a lot of medicinal properties in copper that you
There actually are medicinal properties. There's a crazy thing. This is a whole other episode. And there's a thing about copper where because of like a free electron that it has or something, it has antibacterial and antiviral properties. They've actually been doing studies on this related to coronavirus. And there are hospitals that are like changing fixtures on doors and things like that to copper-based fixtures because they have these natural antibacterial and antiviral properties. I'm not saying that you can like put it under your bed and be corona-free, but there are legit things to copper.
Follow a penny daily.
Right, yeah. Follow one penny every day. A penny a day keeps the doctor away.
Right, you heard it here first.
Now, Pastor David, in high school, did you have one of those ion bracelets to like help you keep balance? That seems.
I did not do that. But
that
seems
the same level of science.
No, this is real science because this is like watching where the electrons go. Like this is actually studying the molecular level of the atom that's happening here. Molecular level on an atom, I don't know. Did I say that right? Probably not. But this is
cool. We're taking it very seriously.
Legitimate doctors doing the stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Copper's making a comeback, man.
All right. So here's from ABC News. Coin shortage has hit retailers, laundromats, and a surprise victim of the coin shortage in America, the Tooth Fairy. The Tooth Fairy's hurt hard by the national coin shortage here in the United States. So any parents with children listening, you know, we're going to talk a little about the Tooth Fairy for the next couple of minutes, just to let you know. You know,
excellent.
So, you know.
Might want to prep your young ears if you've got kids around. Yeah.
Yeah, just
listen at your discretion. Don't worry, Katie. We're 100 episodes in. And we're still acting like it's our first one. This is just to make you feel like you're at home. Right?
Bringing back so many memories.
Uh-huh.
All right. Jen Vicker of Bolingbrook, Illinois. Her 10-year-old daughter woke up with a loose tooth and was worried the Tooth Fairy would not be able to pay because of the shortage. She wrote a note to the Tooth Fairy to put under her pillow. Dear Tooth Fairy, you may already know this, but there's a national coin shortage in America. You usually leave me dollar coins, but until the situation is resolved, I would like cash for my teeth. I apologize for the inconvenience.
Hey, that's okay. Right now. My child leaves me that note. They are getting a lump of coal under their pillow. End of story.
I like it. Give me that cold, hard cash, Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
if you're old enough to understand a coin shortage, you're old enough to not believe in the Tooth Fairy anymore.
You still have baby teeth. Don't you, like, get Tooth Fairy as long as you are losing teeth?
But to believe in it?
Whether or not you believe in it is not the point.
She wrote a note!
You know, look, money still appears on your pillow, whether you believe in it or not, so.
Yeah, I can't fault her strategy, you
know? Yeah.
So, my kids never got coins.
Your kids never got coins.
Whoa, what do your kids get?
Dollars?
What? What is this crazy inflation?
I feel vindicated. We had a conversation about this last week.
So, let me ask you this. Yeah, I want to know, in the Phillips household, what is the going rate for a tooth?
Well, it depends on if it was the first tooth or not. First tooth gets more because, I mean, it's the first tooth. But, I mean, like $2.
That's setting the bar hander.
What's the first tooth get then? Like $5?
Yeah.
$5
for a tooth? All they did is grow. And you're giving them $2? Like, all they did was eat your food and take up your time, and you're giving them $2 for just having a tooth fall out of their mouth. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
All right, so Bah Humbug, David Bowser, how much cash are you giving to your kids' teeth?
I have no
idea.
Are you
giving them a bill for their teeth?
There will be zero cash. I will be adding to the coin shortage because we will get cold hard coins. I mean, look, I was not young, or I was not that young that long ago, and I don't think I ever got more than $1 for a tooth.
Okay. Now, I know the answer to this, but at least how much did you get for a lost tooth?
More like $20.
$20 for a tooth?
Wow.
Patrick just likes to make me say that, I think.
That is a lot per tooth. Man, if I was getting $20 for a tooth as a kid, I'd be in the bathroom with a pair of pliers. I'm just saying, like, give me that money. You pop out five teeth, there's $100 under your pillow. Yeah.
Right? They don't come out all at once. I mean,
they do. You use pliers, yeah.
You got, like, an Xbox 60 or Xbox 360 worth of teeth right there. That's just
ripping
out.
Oh.
That's a... That's a pretty good rate for a tooth. I'd be finding teeth. Look, you go to your friends, you're like, give me your teeth. I'll give you $10. I'll give you half.
Sorry, I'll split it 50.
That's right. Just put random teeth.
And your parents are like, wow, 50 teeth this year.
I'm pretty sure that's how serial killers start.
Right?
I saw this on an episode of Criminal Minds.
Stealing teeth.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Guess. My wife and I got into, before we had kids, we got into a bit of an argument over the tooth fairy because I said I wanted to give our kids a dollar coin for a tooth. Because I thought it's fun, it's different than a dollar. It's something unique that they would get. And my wife was like, probably from the Pastor David mold, was like, that's too much. A dollar's too much. They'll get a quarter. A dollar, that's ridiculous to give to your kids. And I was like, well, I don't think it's that much. It's a tooth. It's a dollar. It's still a coin. And then we talked about it with her mom. And her mom says, oh, when you guys were kids, you each got a dollar. And then my wife was like, well, then it's fine. They can have a dollar. And so we got into a bit of an argument over that because I was like, I'd rather you disagree with your mom too than just only agree with me because your mom said so. That's the only reason you took my side is because your mom said it was okay. So yeah. Timmy has not lost any teeth. He's gotten plenty of teeth, but he's not lost any yet. So we've not had to deal with the how much does the tooth fairy get. So let me ask you, Katie, your kids are in elementary school. Has there ever been a situation where like another kid in school gets more money from the tooth fairy than your kids get?
Yes, of course.
What are you, so do your kids come home disappointed and sad?
No, I wouldn't say like they're like sad and the world has ended, but like they're like, why? How come this kid got this amount and I only got this? And I'm like, well, that's just what the tooth fairy does in our house.
Systematic injustice.
Like, I don't know what's done yet. Sorry.
The world is a cruel, dark place. Welcome to the real life.
Right. I think better to learn that now.
I think their teeth must have been brushed better. You know? Like,
right? Teeth are probably cleaner. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be all of Elise's friends. Like, when they went home, and they're like, my friend Elise got $20.
Listen, I was homeschooled. I didn't have friends. It's me and my $20.
Yeah.
I had all the friends I needed with my $20.
That's right. And my Xbox 360.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I think that is something maybe at the first PTA meeting of the year, you need to establish with everybody how much does a kid get from the tooth fairy? Because we got to make sure we're on the same page here, parents. You know, we can't, I can't give my kid a dollar and have my kid come home crying because you're giving them a 50 under the pillow, you know.
I'm not buying a single thing from your bake sale until we get a union for the tooth fairy here. We need to understand.
I want a standard rate of tooth fairy prices that we're all following. Just like, I want to know who does the bit, you know, if all presents come from Santa or just the big present comes from Santa, right? Because I want my kids to think I'm buying them stuff too, right?
Like,
you need credit.
Yeah. Not, oh, Santa bought you all these things. Mom and Dad, we didn't get you nothing. Santa did all the work.
That's exhausting. That's silly.
Yeah. All right, that's our news for the week about the Tooth Fairy. I hope that little girl gets some cold hard cash. 10 years old too. She still believes in it. That's a little old.
Yeah.
Does Shane still believe in the Tooth Fairy?
Yes. He's 9. He's getting there.
He's getting there. So I guess that's around the age, right? 3rd-ish grade. So when you start questioning the world.
I will say currently Sophia's a very light sleeper. So the potential of having to like sneak into her room and take something out from under her pillow and replace it with something else, a little terrifying. Not sure we're going to be able to pull that one off.
Yeah.
She wakes up pretty easily right now.
In a drill. Before
there you go. Easter says you have to take this, honey.
All right. I've got 10 questions for us to look up here on the podcast. All on this thing. So the first question is,
are we all supposed to answer every question?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to if you're like, I abstain from this question. That is fair.
All right.
But so I've had this conversation with each and every one of you. Katie and David, I had this conversation with you, I guess, around 2 years ago, at least about 2 months ago. And that was, hey, do you want to be on a podcast with me? So the first question I have is, why did you say yes? Why would you say yes to doing Beyond Sunday with me? So let's start that off.
Can I start?
Yes.
Sure.
Patrick wouldn't leave me alone.
He is notoriously.
I don't think anybody really wants to hear what I have to say about stuff. I mean, maybe false. They do, like, you know, and I wasn't too, like, excited about just going out there and putting everything I thought or felt in front of people just because I was scared of what the reaction might be. And not even just from, like, random people I don't know, but, like, from people that I knew. Like, my family, for example. Yeah. You know? Like, you're like, oh, no. Like, real people are going to hear this. But Patrick was very persistent and just, when do we start a podcast? When are we doing this? Are you ready? Are you going to do it today? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. So, but I finally said yes. So.
Yeah.
There you go. So, that persistence pays off on that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say persistence definitely pushed me as well. I've been thinking about having another avenue to talk about faith for a long time. You know, it's been something that had been important to me. And I think, Patrick, you came along with the right option at the right time to be something that I think was going to be valuable for our community and for me as well. I mean, I get as much out of these conversations as hopefully people who are listening do. So, yeah, I won't just blame your persistence, but it did help.
Sure. Yeah. Elise, I asked you most recently if you'd be interested in joining. So what is
right. What you only asked me once, actually. So I feel like I wasn't hard enough to get.
You said, okay. Well, you said yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that was easy. So
I tell everybody my opinion about everything for free all the time. So, like, why not sit down with my friends and do it on the internet? Nothing can go wrong.
Yeah. And I think for me, the idea of starting a podcast, I'm going to say it's probably pure vanity, you know, some level of like,
sure,
obviously what I'm thinking people would want to know about. So let's just get it out there into the world.
Yep.
And, you know, I believe I found this early on that most podcasts fail when they are still in single digit episodes.
I remember
the majority of podcasts do not make episode 10 when they start. And here we are at episode 100. And still
does that make
strong.
Us 10 times better than the average podcast?
Yeah,
I think fair.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Absolutely. That math checks out.
And not to say every podcast, probably the podcast you listen to, listeners are here, probably reached more than 10, but most people who start a podcast.
But that's why you're listening to them.
They abandon it quickly. Yeah. That it's that they say, I've run out of things to talk about, and thankfully we have not. Now, yeah. I can say a little behind the scenes here. Sometimes we go right up into the wire of saying, what are we going to talk about this week?
Sure, yeah.
but we have always figured it out. So, and you might, if you're a longtime listener, maybe even realize this one seems like it was thrown together at the last minute. You know, you might be thinking that.
You're wrong. Yeah.
They don't. Those are actually some of the ones we've been thinking about the longest. For what it's worth, sermons are kind of like that too. So, you know, that's just life. That's how it goes.
All right. So over the quarantine, over the last, you know, what has it been, 5-6 months?
Yeah.
What is a piece of media, so book, movie, TV, that has impacted you?
Ooh.
Ooh, impacted.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll give you
I've got one. Okay. I've been reading a couple of things, but I just, this past week, finished reading I'm Still Here by Austin Channing Brown. We have a adult Sunday school group here at Lord of Life who's been reading it, so I had been kind of reading it along with their class, even though I hadn't been able to be a part of the class, I was reading it along with them. And it's a really, really great book. It's written by a Black female author writing about her perspective of racism in the world and racism particularly within the context of faith in the church. And yeah, it was excellent. So that's one that I picked up during this quarantine time.
Okay. I'm Still Here. By whom?
Austin Channing Brown.
Austin Channing Brown, okay. Any other pieces that have impacted you over the last couple months?
Who, David or the rest of us?
The rest of you, yes.
Okay. I gave mine already.
So mine's not going to be like super in depth because, I mean, I'm back.
Yeah.
But so at the beginning of quarantine, Ryan and I started watching A Handmaid's Tale, which we had never watched before. And of course, at the beginning, I'm like, what am I watching? What is going on? Like, this is insane. But it was very interesting, so interesting. With
beginning of a global pandemic is a rough time to start watching Handmaid's Tale.
Too
close to home here.
That's what made it even worse. And we're like, oh my gosh, like this is just the level of insanity. And then sometimes the parallels of what is, you know, and I'm like, this is bananas. So that was, yeah, it was very interesting to watch that at the beginning of quarantine in a pandemic.
Yes. Kat and I watched the first season or most of the first season of Handmaid's Tale, but she was pregnant at the time. And there's like a sequence where, you know, basically the premise is women can no longer give birth. The majority of women can no longer give birth.
Spoilers.
Yes. I think that's episode one.
Spoiler warning.
That's premise. That's just the premise. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, okay. I think that comes out really quickly. And so the handmaids are women that can still give birth. And so they are kind of like, farmed out to be kind of surrogate mom or surrogate birth mothers to rich families.
Based
on the Bible, yes.
Right.
And so there's a sequence where one of the surrogate mothers gives birth and then they take the baby and give it to the rich family. And my wife was like, we're done. I'm not watching it anymore. That was like,
that's probably good because it really only goes downhill from there as far as like the pregnant woman's experience. You really don't want to watch past that episode. Yeah. If that was your, you don't want to keep going. Just stop right there.
All right, so. Handmaid's Tale. All right, Elise, do you have one?
So I, along with the rest of America, have started watching Tiger King during the pandemic. Nice. And I don't know that I can say it has impacted me positively, but it certainly impacted me. My mind is blown constantly that this exists in the world. This is a true story. Yeah. And Carol Baskin did it.
She fed some guy to a tiger or something, didn't she?
Yeah, her ex-husband. Okay. No proof, all circumstantial evidence, but all roads lead to Carol Baskin.
Sure.
Well, there's no proof because the tiger ate the proof. So
exactly, yeah.
There you go.
The perfect crime.
I watched a few episodes of Tiger King, too. It is an amazing cross-section of America, thinking this is a real thing. These large cat owners who make their own, like, weird zoos, and... You can go and interact with them.
They have harems. Like, it's crazy.
It's a weird, weird show. Yeah.
Yep.
Pass.
The most normal person on that is a ex-felon who cut up a guy with a circular saw. So.
He's not normal. Guy. He's just maybe the most normal.
Yeah, the most normal.
Right. Uh-huh.
Wow.
I think for me, a movie that I rented a few weeks ago that I'm going to admit is probably not for everyone is called Jojo Rabbit that I really, really loved and I was impacted by. It is a coming-of-age tale set in Nazi Germany about a Hitler youth. So, and it's a comedy, too. So, I mean, like, it is, again, I am willing to say it's not going to be for everybody, but I thought it was a really powerful film. There's, you know... Obviously, the Holocaust and Nazi Germany are going to have some really difficult times to, you know, come to terms with. But it's about a little boy whose imaginary friend is Hitler and how he kind of falls subject to propaganda released by Germany and then how he kind of breaks free from that propaganda.
Cool.
So, but I think it is a really neat film. Again, I can't necessarily say everyone should watch that, but I found it to be a really fun movie.
Nice. All right.
Next question. What have you learned over quarantine?
What have I learned over quarantine?
Yeah, something you've learned over this quarantine time.
Mm.
How to make zucchini bread.
There you go. That's, you know, much more time available for baking and cooking.
That's right.
Yeah, anybody else?
I don't know if this is like positive, but I've learned a lot about how we act and treat one another. And like, I feel like our true selves have come out in a lot of ways where we let a lot of things go unspoken and just pretend like everything was fine and let it bubble under the surface. And quarantine has kind of bottled up all that energy. And we've seen that spewing out like a champagne cork in a variety of different ways. So I think I've just learned a lot about the great American experiment in democracy and what that really involves as far as the work that each of us have to put into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a similar vein, I think the level and effect of like how propaganda works in America, you know, speaking of Jojo Rabbit, is something I've really seen firsthand. Like, I mean, even the idea of like wearing a mask to the grocery store is no longer a scientific debate. It's like a political one. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because like, I'm like, well, what is the smartest people on this thing recommend? Because I don't know anything about infectious disease. You know, I'm not doing experiments in my home. Even if I did, they'd be worthless. Because that's not my field. And so what do smarter people than I think, and how that is not like taken for everybody. Like, I mean, like that many people in the world are like, forget it. And so, like, you know, I find that to be just something I've learned that I do think is interesting in this quarantine time. Anything else that people have learned over quarantine?
I guess for us, just because we've been home a lot and yeah. just the four of us have been together so much, I've learned how much my kids, we've always been so busy, running here, there, everywhere, trying to get everything done that needs to get done. And just having some downtime together with just the four of us has been really good. And just learning that my kids sometimes just need to stop. Yeah. And we don't always have to be so busy and just run everywhere we need to go and all this kind of stuff. Like, life still happens when you're not on the go all the time. And I think that's been really big for us. No, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that they're at school today. And I'm glad that Ryan is out working today. Like, sure. We've had a lot of together time. But it's also been really good, you know, just playing games and kind of getting to know each other again, even though, I mean, we know each other, but you know what I'm saying? We're just close again. You know, we're a unit again.
So, I think that's fun. That can be a positive of this time for hopefully many, many families of having that intentional time with one another that they've been forced into. All right. I got another question here for you. This one will be a little lighter for us. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
JTT from Home Improvement. Okay. Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Which Harrison Ford? Like from a particular movie? Ooh, or?
All of them. All of them. Harrison Ford. Yeah. Okay.
Indiana Jones, Star Wars.
Right. Yesterday, today, forever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Harrison Ford.
I do not remember the actress's name, but she was Becky on Saved by the Bell.
Becky or Kelly, Kelly on Saved by the Bell?
Kelly, that was it. Yes. It's been a long time since I watched Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, that would be Tiffany Amber Thiessen, one of my crushes growing up as well. Yeah. Don't totally understand. I think mine is going to be, I would say, The Little Mermaid. So, Ariel was first celebrity crush. I watched
Jasmine was also in my list, from Aladdin. Sure. Yep.
I watched The Little Mermaid. With Timmy, we watch like a Disney movie like every couple of days, and it's not that good anymore. It's really not a great film.
Doesn't hold up.
It does not hold up. Beauty and the Beast, a few years later, is a way better film that has a more coherent storyline. Hmm. So the prince in Little Mermaid is so boring, has no actions at all. It's really, really bad.
Well, the story's not about the prince.
I know, it's called about the Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not
but
called The Prince Who Found a Mermaid.
Sure. I'm just saying, I also don't have a lot of sympathy for The Little Mermaid on her deal with Ursula. Ursula said, here's the exact deal. Little Mermaid said, yes, what's the problem? Like, there's no hidden contract there. It was, like, exactly what Ursula said. So, like, that's up to her, you know, that she said yes. You know, maybe you could say she's exploiting a teenager, but still.
I think you can absolutely say she's exploiting a teenager.
I don't know how age works in mermaid years, you know, like she's old enough.
Years,
she's like... old enough to get married. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
All right. What's the most unusual meal you've ever eaten?
Most unusual meal I've ever eaten or like, ever. Oh, there's a corn fungus that's a delicacy in Mexico, and I've eaten that.
Ooh. Well, yeah, we talk about food a lot on the podcast as part of our news, and you are like, you know what? Cranch, gross, never going to happen. Corn fungus beckons over here. I'll eat that. Like,
confused by your standards.
It's a delicacy. I didn't eat, like, a lot of it, but I tried it. I have already tried both ketchup and ranch to know that I'm not going to like cranch.
By the way, earlier this week, I was planning to send you all some cranch so we could try it on the podcast, but it would cost like $15 each. And I was like, I'm not spending that. You know, like, so, but that was my intent, was to send everybody some cranch, but I did not want to spend $60 just to get cranch in everybody's home.
Oh, it's a thought that counts. So.
Yeah. But if you have ketchup and ranch, you can just make your own. Pastor David probably does not have those things.
Yeah.
Hey, all his fridge has is a bunch of corn molding.
It's a
fungus.
Quitlacoche. That's the name of the corn fungus. Quitlacoche.
Okay. Quitlacoche. All right.
Any other unusual meals out there?
A delicacy.
I have had a fried rat on a stick from a street vendor in China. And it was delicious.
There you go. See?
Okay. So not only fried rat, it's also street meat fried rat. It's like...
Well, the other piece of this story is that it gave me tapeworms.
Sure. But it was delicious.
It was delicious.
I'm going to say...
Ow.
Why would you expect anything less from fried rack on a stick that you're buying on the side of the street in China?
That's right. You only live once.
That seems like, tapeworms seem like best case scenario of that situation.
I was lucky, yeah.
Katie, anything unusual?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is unusual. We had fried alligator this summer when we were in Alabama. Really nice. Good. But many people have eaten fried alligator, so I don't know that that's really, I don't know many people who've had corn fungus or fried rat.
If you go to Mexico, a lot of people eat corn fungus.
That's right. So, yeah.
And if you go to China, a lot of people eat fried rats.
I'm saying, it was just out on the street for anybody to buy, so.
Yeah. Just asking for it.
That's right.
And after you bought it, they're like, people usually give this to pets.
Tourists.
In Peru, I did eat the guinea pig down there, cuy. So I have had guinea pig down in Peru. It, you know, looked like a guinea pig. It still had some hair on it, fried up. And then last time I went to Peru, I had llama as well. So a llama steak. So it's delicious. Both those things are very, very good. So, but yeah, Katie, you did not enjoy guinea pig, you know?
Well, you said it still had the hair on it. I think that's
possible. A little hair. It's not like all the hair. Just like, you know, they didn't get all of it off.
I mean, I'll try a lot of things. I don't need to see the hair on the animal that I...
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, it happens.
It doesn't need to happen.
All right.
I don't think it does.
All right, next question here. Not last question. Next question. When was the last time you cried and why?
Last time I cried and why?
Yeah. Last Friday.
Okay. This is still a little raw, Katie. What do you got?
So, you know, like all of the pressure of virtual school and then Shelby's birthday was coming up. So I was trying to get ready for people to come over. And then Shelby and I were making her cake and Shelby grabbed the vegetable oil bottle and it slipped out of her hands. Uh-oh. And the whole cake... oil all over the kitchen. It wasn't the cake or the oil. I told her it was fine. Then I just broke down. I can't take it anymore.
That was just a catalyst. Yep. Yeah.
I had a moment.
Sure.
Yep.
For about 30 minutes, I went outside and I was like, fair. I have to go outside.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cry at everything, like literally everything. Music, I think, is pretty.
Sure.
Commercials with cats in them, actual sad things, feeling happy unexpectedly. So, I mean, it was probably yesterday. Maybe this morning. I can't remember.
All right. That's fun. Yeah, I can't say for sure what the catalytic event was, but I have, in the last, 3 years, I've started crying at movies, and I don't really know why. Stupid movie. I'll watch Frozen with Sophia, and I'll be like, oh man, it's just like they're coming together and she's having a moment. And I was just like, I'll have to sit there just quietly, breathing heavily to keep everything together. But it's real. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a new development. I used to never cry at movies. And within the last 3 years, anything movie related will set me off.
Well, I think too, right now with the whole Frozen thing, the country is so divided and people are so just at one end or the other. So seeing something beautiful where people are coming together, it's like, oh, it gives me hope for the future, even though it's a Disney cartoon movie.
It is very sweet of you to try to justify it. But for me, it's just crazy town. I don't know what, but I appreciate you trying to give it, give me some credit there.
Like Elise, I can cry on the drop of a hat very easily. That I'm very emotional. I also cry at movies, but I cry at all the movies. So give me a movie, I'll cry at it. That's just probably what's gonna happen. So I think the last time I cried was actually last week watching an episode of Clifford the Big Red Dog with my son. So
nice.
Yep. So
Patrick.
Okay, it's really sweet.
You saw people coming together, Katie. Yes. It was okay, beautiful.
Okay. Yes. There's a little boy in the show. He's favorite comic book character. He dresses up as him, and the author was coming to the island they live on and couldn't make it. And so his friends put on a play where he got to be the star as the comic book character. And then the author did get to make it, and she's like, oh, you're the best character I've ever seen, can I have your autograph, to the little boy.
Oh,
and I got a little emotional at that.
That's
so
sweet.
Yes. Yeah,
I might cry about it right now.
Yeah, so there you go.
Why don't you go cry about it, Elise?
Yeah, go watch Frozen.
Yeah, so right. I've had to come to terms with that I'm an emotional male at an early age, because, you know, trying to hide that I'm crying at the movies was just not worth it. Now I just have to be like,
embrace it.
I just cry at the movies. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Lean into it. Yeah. Get the extra large popcorn and sob into it.
All right.
Don't ruin that perfectly good popcorn with your tears. You sob into your drink like a normal person.
They have napkin, just so you know.
It's been a long time since I've been into a movie theater. I kind of forget what happens there.
We don't remember. Yeah.
I no longer have the social skills required to go out in public and watch a movie. I don't know what that is.
All right. What three books have impacted your faith or your life the most?
Oh.
Ever?
Ever. I mean, like, probably like, give me three books, not the three most, because, like, that's hard to think of. Just give me three books
that have
impacted your faith.
Cheater.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody believes you.
I got Love Wins by Rob Bell.
Okay.
Outlaw Christian by Jacqueline Bussey, who is also one of my professors. So taking her classes and then being able to read her book has been a huge part of my faith story. Mm-hmm. And The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. That was another one that really, really impacted me during college. That and A Grief Observed. Mm-hmm. Great Divorce and A Grief Observed would be two that kind of go hand in hand from C.S. Lewis.
All right. So there you go, from Pastor David. Any other people out there have some books that have impacted them?
I have more than three. These are two separate categories. Like, impacted your faith and impacted your life. You guys, I'm a writer. I can't do this. I guess for books that have impacted my faith, I'm going to say A Million Miles in a Thousand Years by Donald
Miller.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. The Practice of the Presence of God, which is by some Byzantine monk from the 15th century. I don't remember his name. And Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis.
Nice. Solid choice.
Yeah. I want to give you my life books, but we're probably running out of time.
We'll do that another time. That's right.
Yeah, that'll be
have a list of 40.
That'll be another time for Elise's life books.
That's right.
Katie, do you have any other books besides the Bible?
I
didn't mean that to sound like sarcastic.
But it was.
So it's no surprise. I'm a huge fan of Jen Hatmaker. Mm-hmm. And I love her books. Not that they are religious in nature as to how we should treat people and what God calls us to do as people of faith. But they're not specifically Christian books. Like C.S. Lewis's books are, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But For the Love, that she came out with several years ago, was a huge thing for me, especially as a mom, because she writes a lot from a mom's point of view and things that happen with her kids. And then how do we walk in faith in our daily lives, and how do we treat people? And she does it with humor and sarcasm, which is totally up my alley. So I love anything from her. Mess and Moxie is another great one that I just finished reading a few months ago. So and then the Bible, and then Mere Christianity is also a good one as well. So I agree with that.
Yeah,
for sure.
For me, you know, I had Mere Christianity, but it's been mentioned twice now, so I'll come up with a third here. So I will say The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis has had a real big impact on my faith. I love the fusion of fiction and faith and how they go together. I think that as a kid and as an adult reading those has been really powerful for me to see that faith can be realized through story. And even if it's not explicitly saying Jesus, can through the power of story and sacrifice can point us towards Jesus. So for me, The Chronicles of Narnia. A book I read in college was Ragamuffin Gospel by Brendan Manning. That really made me fall in love with the grace of God, and that this is how it's manifested in human beings and not in Jesus. So Ragamuffin Gospel. And I'll say Prodigal God by Tim Keller. It's an exploration of the story of the prodigal son from every perspective, from the younger son, older son, and the father, and comes to the conclusion that God's love is the actual prodigal part of the story, that it's the extravagant, it's the unreasonable, it's the outpouring, not the kid's spending of his money. So I think that Prodigal God, it's also a really short read. It's only like 70 pages. So those are the three for me that I think have impacted my faith. Okay. All right, a few more questions here. What is your closest brush with fame?
Closest brush with fame?
Yeah.
This podcast.
Well, I hate to tell you this.
Yeah.
That's not that close.
So is this like, how close was I to being famous, or how close are we to someone else who is famous?
I will give you however you want that to look like for your own story, Closest brush with fame.
Okay, so I have one.
Okay.
So when I was probably 8 or 9, I'm a vocalist, and my parents were very proud that I could sing. And there is, I don't know if it's still in existence, but back then there was a music store in downtown Houston called Dixie's Music World. And this is when karaoke became like this huge sensation. And so all they had were karaoke cassette tapes. This is when we were in the cassette tape world. And so we would go down there and buy all of my karaoke cassette tapes, because Lord knows I had a whole system set up in my bedroom with a microphone, amp, all of it, mixing board, all of it.
Wow.
So we would go down there and get my cassette tapes. Well, they held auditions for their commercial, right, for Dixie's Music World. And I auditioned in my sequin jacket on the stage, and then I got to be on the commercial.
What?
I know.
Let me ask you this. Did you put the sequins on your jacket yourself? Like, did you bedazzle your own jacket?
No, we bought it that way.
You're welcome. That's too bad.
What was the name of that place?
Dixie's Music World.
Is that commercial on the internet? That commercial's got to be on YouTube
somewhere,
I have no idea.
Please don't.
Yeah. That's got to exist out there.
You're a child star.
Yeah, we're going to be tracking this down for sure.
Yes.
That is...
Did you find it, Patrick?
I'm looking. Okay. All right, who else has got it?
Who else has got a brush with celebrity, brush with fame?
So I was not in a commercial by any means. I have a few, like I have met some famous authors, but I feel like that's not really the same thing as celebrity. I was on a TV show.
Ooh.
When I was 18, called Extreme Achievers, because it's really dorky.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. I love it.
I did, for my graduation sort of present to myself, I did like a charity thing where I kayaked the Intercoastal Waterway of South Carolina with my dad. So we raised the money for a charity, and a TV station got wind of it and interviewed me. I was also on a roller coaster with Ludacris when I was like 13.
That's pretty cool.
Very fancy. Yeah.
Did you like plan to be on a roller coaster with Ludacris?
No, he was just there. He was just there in line, like right in front of me, and I was like, "That's Ludacris." You know, 13-year-old me that mom and dad, I did not listen to rap music.
That is Ludacris.
I just
from pictures.
Yeah, knew him from the news.
Yeah.
I find the most crazy thing to be that Ludacris had to wait in line to ride a roller coaster. Like,
right, you know?
Just get to jump up to the front. That's very, very human of Ludacris. I applaud.
Yes.
I don't think I have a good brush with celebrity. I'm racking my brain here. I don't think I've got one.
Wow. Yeah. Have you met a celebrity?
I'd say the closest that I've come, I mean, there have been like, I've had a, like gone to shows or something like that, and you pay like the extra VIP or whatever, and you get to shake somebody's hand afterward. I've done that.
Okay.
But other than that, so Ted Ginn Jr. was a briefly famous football star who played at Ohio State. Before he went to Ohio State, he ran hurdles in Ohio, and a friend of mine was in the state finals competing against him, and I was allowed on the track to warm up with my friend, because you're allowed to have a warm-up partner. And so I was running with this guy who eventually played in the NFL, but I did not run against him because I was not that good. So I was just on the track at the same time.
There you go. All right. Yeah, for me, when I worked at camp in LaGrange, Texas, a TV show came out there to film that I was on called Day Tripper. It's a PBS show.
Nice.
About this guy who takes day trips in Texas. And he came to LaGrange and he wanted to go canoeing in the river there. And so he rented canoes from our camp and I led him on a canoe trip. So I got to be on his little day tripper show, canoeing with this guy. And then they lost the footage and they had to come back 2 weeks later and we redid the entire thing again. So
awesome.
Yep. So
that sounds like PBS right there. It's like, oh, that's a great thing. And we lost all the footage.
So if you ever watch PBS, a show called Day Tripper, there's an episode that I'm on.
That's got to be on YouTube somewhere too, right?
Yeah. I could not find Dixie's music. Whatever. So, oh well. I've got two more questions here that we're gonna get through real quick. So here we go. What's the worst job you've ever had?
Ooh, I worked in a call center for like a week and a half.
That sounds awful.
I hated it.
Do you have to call people, or they call you?
They called me. It was a centralized leasing office, is what they called it, for apartment complexes all over the United States. So they would call you about a specific apartment. You wouldn't know what apartment complex, because we're not affiliated with anyone. And the information of the apartments would pop up on your screen when your phone started ringing. And so then you had to BS your way through acting like you were actually on site at the apartment. Oof. So like, for people who wanted to rent this apartment and like give them information about leasing, and it was awful.
That does sound awful.
Yeah.
I would be miserable.
Yeah, my worst job was similar. I was in a call center where we were calling alumni to ask for donations from my university.
Blah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Katie,
not,
do you have a
not
worst
my
job?
Gift.
Yeah, I pretty much liked my jobs.
Good
I'm
for you.
Like,
good for you.
I liked them. They each served their purpose. There were things about some that I didn't like, but I mean, they each served their purpose, and I liked them. I worked in a restaurant, loved it. Worked in the mall, loved it. Now, if you asked me today to go do those things, I'd be like, no, I'm good. But like back then, that was cool. I was an RA, loved it. Like, I mean, you know.
There you go. Let's see. I was a security guard in college, and I worked 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. three times
and
a week.
And you're so scary.
Yeah, trust me.
That's where the quiet menace comes from.
I'm not very tall. I'm not a big guy on any level. And so me being a security guard is pretty funny. The shirt was like gigantic on me, my little uniform. It was the smallest one they had. Once a door was open to like the basement of the kitchen and some guy said he heard voices down there. So I just called the cops. I'm like, I'm not doing that. The most like real thing I ever had to do was talk to a homeless guy who was asleep on our chapel. And then they asked me to ask him to move, which was hard. Like I didn't want to do that. But that was like, mostly it was like playing around in the computer lab or shooting baskets in the gym for a couple hours, you know, three times a week. So, all right, last question. If money and resources were no object, what would you want to do next?
Are we assuming there's not a global pandemic?
That's part of the resources. You know, like if you could do whatever you wanted and you had no obstacles in your way, you know, what would be the thing that you would want to pursue? This doesn't have to be a career. This could be just like a hobby. Yeah.
I have a dream of starting a TV show about taking day trips to places in Texas. And I really love to film a canoe trip at a small town.
We know a guy.
I'm ready.
He's done this twice.
I've canoed many times on that river, but I can definitely lead a canoe trip on camera. That's for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've tossed around a couple of, not that this is actually going to happen, but I mean, if like money and it didn't matter, like I could just go out there and start it. I've thought of either one, opening a wedding venue somewhere with my sisters. but okay. Maybe, I don't know. Or two, opening a like a school for performing arts up near where I live, because there's not a lot of that up here. So that's been a thought as well.
But, oh, I think that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to go nomadic, just like full on digital nomad, travel full time. That's sort of like my long time dream. I'm very happy writing, so I wouldn't want to change like the career aspect of it, but I would like to do it remotely.
Nice.
Okay. So just travel constantly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pastor David, do you have a real one now?
Yeah, I do have a real one now. I would love to have cooking be more directly involved in my everyday life, like cooking for people and using that as a form of ministry. Because I mean, yeah, like Elise said, like I love my job. I love preaching. I love being with people in their highs and lows. Like this is a calling. That's what I'm here for. But I would love to be able to incorporate sharing meals with people in a more regular fashion and like be trained in it. Like actually like, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, one of the things that I've gotten to explore a lot over the last couple of years is expanding our churches and my personal like multimedia stuff. So podcasting, video, things like that. So that is a path that I would love to pursue greater, you know, like working on products for churches, for schools of like, and getting like Christians together to make media, not necessarily Christian media, but like from a Christian point of view, how can we craft story and meet projects together? I think that'd be really fun and really kind of an interesting thing right now, especially since I've gotten a chance to kind of wade into some of these things, like with podcasting and I've done like video series for Lord of Life. So I think that'd be kind of a neat thing to do. But again, money and resources, you know, yeah. So we're all
we
there.
Live in the real world.
All right, that's my 10 questions for us as a podcast community.
There we go.
And Katie, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast with us. We missed you. Welcome.
Thank you for asking me.
You know, we have
super fun.
Yeah, we have some job openings up at Lord of Life. You know, if you're interested in coming back to work with us, you know, just saying.
Well, thank you for the offer. I appreciate that.
I have
that was a hard pass, is what that was.
I usually do
deflection.
A summer internship for high school kids, but I will grandfather you into that summer internship. You know, if you want to come and work for $200 for a summer.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
That won't even pay the gas.
That's a write-off. Write it off on your taxes.
We can give it to you in a gas card. We can give it to you that way. Would that be better?
All right, that's all I've got for questions. Did anybody else have anything for our 100th episode?
No, here's to 100 more. Let's keep it going.
Happy 100.
Yay.
I'm proud of everyone. That is awesome.
Aw, thanks,
Kate. Well, I've been here for like 4 episodes, so you don't have to be proud of me.
We're still proud of you, Elise. It's fine. You put
we're
up with Patrick
future,
and I.
Future, Elise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Pastor David, where can people find us?
Hey, if you have been enjoying what you heard for these past 100 episodes, or let's be honest, these past 95, because the first 5, a little bumpy. But if you have been enjoying what you heard, you can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You, of course, can find our Facebook page, Beyond Sunday Podcast, and you can find this episode and all the other episodes wherever delightfully sourced and eloquently asked questions of podcasts are available for your listening ears.
All right. Happy 100, everybody. Thank you all. To our listeners, we really could not do this without you. I mean, I guess we could, and maybe we have in the past made podcasts that nobody wants to listen to.
Truly do. Yeah.
But thank you all. We're happy to be here for 100 episodes, and we'll be back next week with episode 101, Beyond Sunday.
You should dress up like Dalmatians.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
Exact thought.
Bye, everybody.